The incident that came to mind has a connection, the most immediate connection comes at the end, but there may be other connections as well. When I first met Srila Prabhupada and came to the Boston Temple, his program was to speak only in the evening. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, he would speak in the temple at 95 Glenville Avenue. And Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, he would speak outside, usually at a university campus. And then Sunday, he would give the talk at the Sunday Love Feast. So one evening at one of the universities, he gave a talk at in a classroom or lecture hall, and the seats were moved from the back forward as there were students and some faculty, and there was an open space, and then there was a dais where Srila Prabhupada was sitting. And he spoke, and at the end he took questions, and I was always fascinated by the way he answered the questions, because often he would get the same question, but he would always give a different answer. And I was fascinated how, you know, depending on the person who asked the question and depending on the audience, he would give a different answer. And then after the questions and answers, there was kirtan. And the devotees danced in a circle in the open space between Srila Prabhupada and the audience seated on the chairs. And as we were dancing in a circle, I felt my heart fill with a sense of love for everyone in the room. I was, you know, dancing in a circle. I was looking at the people in the room and just feeling so much love for them, just these students and professors, maybe administrators. And then that feeling of love expanded as if it was going beyond the walls of the room and into the street and through the streets past, I imagine it was just expanding across the nation to California, the Pacific Ocean, Japan, and then just expanding and filling up the whole universe. I felt a like a sense of oneness, but not in an impersonal sense, but a sense of complete peace and unity, but with individuality and love. And up until then, I had never really approached Srila Prabhupada. I would sit in the lectures and raise my hand and ask questions, but I'd never really just approached him. But I was so overwhelmed by the experience I had just had. And before I met Srila Prabhupada, I had been a psychology major at Brandeis University, and the chairman of the department and one of my professors was Abraham Maslow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And he had developed a whole system of psychology, and he was a leader of what they called the third force in psychology. Up to then, there had been mainly two divisions. The behaviorists, who studied stimulus and response, studied rats, and then the psychoanalysts, you know, who studied diseased persons. So Abraham Maslow had the idea to study healthy persons, whom he called self-actualized. And one characteristic he found in some of them is that they would have some sort of experience of like peace and unity, which he called peak experiences. So when I was you know, overcome with love, and then the love expanded and filled the universe, and I just felt completely at one with the universe, with all creation. And, you know, it crossed my mind, this is something like a peak experience. I never experienced it in the classroom with him, but I experienced it with Srila Prabhupada and the devotees. And the holy name. So I was really overwhelmed. I mean, I had never experienced anything like it, and I was so elated. I just, without thinking, I just went up very close to Srila Prabhupada, and he was sitting up, and I was there. And I said, Prabhupada, in those days we called him Prabhupada. The Srila was added later as we learned more. I just blurted out, this is wonderful. And as I came close to him, I could actually feel a change in the energy, you know, that I felt I was entering into like an aura of a spiritual energy. It was like different. And when I said, Prabhupada, this is wonderful, he began to chuckle. Like his whole body was heaving, and I knew he wasn't laughing at me. I knew he was laughing in ecstasy, that he was feeling ecstasy. And he looked at me with such love and compassion and appreciation. And he said four words, thank you very much. And when you told your story, how Srila Prabhupada said four words, I thought of the four words that Srila Prabhupada said to me. And that was
wonderful.
It's also a very magical moment. So thank you very much for
you
I thought we stopped the change up. Well, all right. It's not directly related to the holy name or any of the context, but it occurred to me. It's one of those times when, in retrospect, I believe I must have been intruding on Srila Prabhupada's consciousness. But at the time, I had no idea. I was just like very young and absorbed in my own thoughts. So we were at a public program in India. Within the first year in India before we got to Juhu Land or anything. Somewhere, perhaps in North India. And the organizers had set up a stage on a road outdoors. The road was closed to traffic, and the whole street was just filled with people, like hundreds and thousands of people. And Srila Prabhupada was on the platform, and the disciples were near him chanting kirtan before Srila Prabhupada was to speak. And I had heard Srila Prabhupada quote a verse spoken by Dhruva Maharaj when the Lord finally appeared to him and asked him if he wanted any benediction. And Dhruva Maharaj said, no. And then the Lord said, well, what about your kingdom? You came to the forest to perform austerities to reach me so that you could get your kingdom. And Dhruva Maharaj said, I was looking for pieces of broken glass, and now I've found the most precious jewel. Swamin Kritartho Smi Varam Nayachayan. Fully satisfied. I don't want any benediction. So it was on my mind, because I hadn't found that verse in Srimad Bhagavatam or anywhere. So it was on my mind, where does this verse come from? So in front of all these thousands of people, in the few moments between the kirtan and Srila Prabhupada's lecture, I sort of, crawled over to the Vyasasan, and I said, Srila Prabhupada, you know that verse? And then I quoted the verse. Where does that come from? And, Srila Prabhupada looked at me. He didn't appear to be annoyed or anything. He just looked at me with great love and kindness, and said, maybe Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. I was happy, went back and sat down. He gave his lecture. And for years I still didn't come across the verse or the reference, and then many years later, after Srila Prabhupada had left, I came across it, and it was that reference. It was Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. But I thought of it because Srila Prabhupada was so tolerant, just so tolerant. And I'm the type who doesn't like to be interrupted or disturbed when I'm concentrating or trying to focus. And I think of just how tolerant he was and how peaceful he was and how kind he was. And I also think of Haridas Thakur. He's also very tolerant, although he was so absorbed chanting the holy name. He's also very tolerant and peaceful. And he was very affectionate, like to Raghunath Das Goswami. When Raghunath Das was a schoolboy, he would visit Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur would be very kind to him and encourage him to chant and be very merciful to him. And it's said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that because of the blessings that Raghunath Das received from Haridas Thakur when he was just a student in school, he later got the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and became Raghunath Das Goswami. And Haridas Thakur was also a greatly learned scholar in the assembly of the Mazumdars. When he spoke about the holy name, he spoke with great authority with reference to scriptures. So even though he chanted 3 lakhs of names every day, he still studied the scripture, was still learned, he still found time to encourage this whatever youth, teenager, or young schoolboy. So these are great examples for us, Srila Prabhupada, of absorption in the holy name. But at the same time, kindness and mercy and compassion and care, willingness to extend themselves to others without thought for themselves. So they are our exemplars, and try to learn from their example how to chant the holy name and serve the Lord, serve the devotees, ultimately serve the living entities. So I'm grateful that I got this opportunity. As you were congratulating the devotees for their sincerity because they didn't run away, I thought, well, I'm the one who ran away. But I came back. So I guess all's well that ends well. I think it is. Hare Krishna.